Eamon McCann from People Before Profit. Eamon, welcome. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Are you the leader of People Before Profit?
Well, we're not into leaders very much, but it's necessary when you're registering a political party here in the North, and you have to do that if you're going to have your party logo on the ballot slip. It's necessary to name on the registration form a party leader. So when we came to do that, there was a general of casual consensus that I should be the party leader. That's all it amounts to, really.
But do you not think you need a leader for a party?
Well, insofar as we need a leader, I'm the leader. That's written down. I'm officially registered as leader. But I have to say that my understanding of leader is that people would automatically follow the leader, sort of, and do what the leader said. Believe you me, that's not the situation on People Before Profit.
Well, you're standing seven candidates in this election in six constituencies. I see that you're standing two candidates this time in West Belfast. Jerry Carroll is standing along with Michael Collins. I assume that's because you couldn't find a candidate called James Connolly.
We didn't actually, to be honest.
I worked on that line.
Okay, fair play. And James Connolly, who, of course, is well known in West Belfast, and, I mean, he was a trade union leader in Belfast and involved sort of in the Docker strike in 1911. My father, actually, who comes from the New Lodge Road, my father saw James Connolly when he was a child speaking at the corner of Leper Street and New Lodge Road.
Really?
Told me that it was a wee stout man with a black moustache shouting out of him.
0-30-30-80-55-55. We're taking your calls for Eamon McCann, and you're already texting and tweeting. You're texting 81771. You said in the Belfast Telegraph yesterday, Eamon, that this election has come too soon for you.
Well, it came too soon in the sense that, of course, that when we were elected last May, it didn't occur to us that the Assembly was going to collapse quite so soon, although that possibility was always there, of course. And we had, well, we thought we had the 5 years, as everybody else did, and we were making long-term plans over a couple of years to try and, you know, put branches in place right across the North and fight as many. And ideally, we wanted to fight all 18 seats. Now, when the election was called, we simply weren't in a position to do that, and there was no point in us putting up paper candidates all over the place just to make the point, and we wouldn't have the money to nominate them anyway. So we were. It came too soon for us, but here we are, and we'll do the best we can, and we think we'll do better than most people expect.
I'll come to the calls in a moment. Fra and John are standing by, but let's take this text first of all from Neil, who's in Derry. He wants to know that you supported Brexit yourself when you knew, he says, that there would be devastating consequences for the people of the North West, and there are big questions now, aren't there, about whether we might have a hard border along the Derry-Donegal border. If that happens, you take part of the blame for that, do you?
Absolutely not. And let me say, sort of, that the people making this criticism don't seem to have any plan, sort of, for strategy for dealing with the situation in which we find ourselves. I think our reaction to the notion of a hard border is that we're not going to allow it. Instead of standing on the sidelines, bemoaning the fact and apparently regarding it as an inevitability, as if we were spectators, sort of, at these events rather than participants in them, I'm saying that we should make it clear now we're not having a hard border. I'm saying that we should, and that all, not just a People Before Profit, but that everybody who's concerned about this should be making it clear to Mrs. May and anybody else, right, that we're not going to have a hard border, and we in Northern Ireland have got the long experience of using people power, I mean, to stop sort of ideas and plans that the British government has for us.
I think I heard you saying to Mark Davenport yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that you might be prepared to call for civil disobedience to resist a hard border.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And if other people are not prepared to back us on that, and by civil disobedience, I don't at all mean violence or even risking violence. I mean sort of that deploying. We've got a situation where every single party in the North and every single party in the South, every MLA, every TD is against the idea of a hard border. There's no support for it in Ireland, North or South. So why should we say, that this is being negotiated between Theresa May's government and Brussels, and if this is what comes out, we'll have to accept it. No, I say, we should be laying down our terms for this to happen, and when Mrs. May goes, instead of saying that James Brokenshire should represent us at these negotiations or that there be some consultation with Northern Ireland political leaders, we should be making it clear now that we're simply not having it and we'll do what is necessary to stop it. Do you really think that somebody is going to come over from Britain and they'll have to come over from across the water because this is a Westminster matter, and what's more, nobody in Northern Ireland will do it for them? Do you really think that they're going to come over here and build customs posts, sort of a against the wishes of everybody on both sides of the border. If we allow that to happen, what have the last 40 years been about? I say, don't let it happen. We can make our own future. We don't have to stand on the sidelines and see other people decide for us.
Just before I go to the phone lines, People Before Profit Alliance is an all-Ireland alliance. Would you like to see Ireland leaving the European Union?
Yes, I would. I would like to see also France, Germany, Greece and Italy and many other countries leaving the European Union. But look, with regard to what's going to happen in the South, I mean, this is a very important point. Should the South leave it? Because there's only a number of possibilities which are going to come out of this negotiation. They would include the United Kingdom not leaving the EU at all. That could happen. Or United Ireland outside the EU, but outside the UK, but within the EU. A special status agreed whereby Northern Ireland remains within the EU and the UK. These are all possibilities. We should be exerting our pressure from the bottom up about these things. And incidentally, one of the things that certainly happened here is that the whole idea of the constitutional question has been thrown up into the air. Old solutions don't work anymore. In fact, that's one of the reasons for the fact that mainstream parties are running around caterwauling about what is happening rather than presenting a coherent alternative and plan for dealing with which People Before Profit does.